You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright
Happy 4th of July, gang. Welcome to TPC's 4th of July Spectacular. I'm your host, James Edwards. It is Saturday evening, July the 4th, and yes, we are really live tonight, and we're going to provide the fireworks for you. We thought about taking the night off, what with it being the 4th of July and all, but we thought, with what's going on in America, we can't do it. And we're not going to mail it in. We're not going to play a tape. We're going to be here, and it's going to be a little bit different show tonight. We're just going to hang out tonight. No guests, just me and you, and a little later, Sam Bushman and Keith Alexander, but we're going to keep it all in-house tonight. A little bit different show in that regard. And for the first hour and a half, it is going to be just me and you, one-on-one, the Star-Spangled Banner. I have to admit that it still does bring a swell of emotion, even to these grizzled eyes, when I hear the Star-Spangled Banner played. And that comes from a man, understand who this is coming from a man who cannot stand the sight of the American flag and has not been able to stand the sight of it for as long as I can remember. Of course, with that flag flying over the subjugation of my people in the South, that flag flying over the sanctioning of tens of millions of murders of unborn babies, transgenderism, transhumanism, anything repugnant, anything degenerate, anything bad. That's what that flag stands for now. But it certainly wasn't that way in the beginning. And if you do allow, if you can, let your mind slip back to what that moment must have been like for Francis Scott Key as he wrote those lyrics, watching the bombardment at Fort McHenry. You think back to colonial American, those rough and rugged people. It still gets you somewhere. And interestingly enough, America was born and died on the 4th of July. Of course, I think we all know the significance of July 4th, 1776, but there's a little something I like to read, and we read it most 4th of July. It was written, about a decade and a half ago by Michael Perutka, and he talked about the death of America on the 4th of July, 1863, and this is what Michael Perutka wrote. The sadness on 4th of July for me comes from the historical proximity of the defeat of our American forces at Gettysburg. On the 4th of July, 1863, after 3 days of brutal and desperate fighting to defend and preserve the American way of life, American soldiers retreated in the rain through Frederick, Maryland, and slipped back across the Potomac River to the relative safety of Virginia. I wonder what Independence Day thoughts went through the minds of these men as they marched away from the horrific scene where they and their brethren had sacrificed life and limb for the cause of American independence. What singular faith and courage led them to continue the struggle to defend America from the growing tyrant? though most people living in America don't realize it, the Army of Northern Virginia was the last force capable of countermanding the centralized tyranny that had succeeded in undermining the concept of the Constitutional Republic. When Lee lost at Gettysburg, no earthly force remained that could stand against the Washington Leviathan. This growing monster would eventually murder 50 million innocent babies, would send our sons and daughters and sisters, along with our brothers and sons, off to die stupidly and needlessly in order to satisfy its lust for blood and power. It would undermine the fatherhood of our families and seek dominion over our children, would stare at us from every street corner with its cyclops eyes to make sure that we have our seatbelt buckled, would number and monitor us, and would drug our children to make sure they grow up without any idea of what liberty means or any knowledge of the true source and law of liberty and government. Well, of course, all of that is entirely true. I was talking with a friend a couple of days ago who told me that as he was living through the 1970s, he could remember saying to himself, well, it can't possibly get any worse than this. This has to be as bad as it could ever be. We've reached rock bottom. This is what he said to himself in the 70s. And then he said with a chuckle a couple of days ago, it just goes to show how little imagination I have. Well, what's become of America is, in fact, a monstrosity. It's impossible to consider how we got from where we were on that first Independence Day to where we are now. And what's going to become of the national anthem? You know, one of the reasons I wanted to play it tonight is because if they can curse it and they can condemn it, then we can play it, can we not? America's national religion is political correctness, and of course it has been for a long time now, several decades anyway. But if it wasn't for that being our national religion, I suppose the national religion of America would be sports. And what's happening in that sacred cathedral? Well, the NFL. The NFL came out this week and said that they are going to play the black national anthem before every game. Whatever that means, is that something like Juneteenth or Kwanzaa that was just made up? Supposedly there's a black national anthem now, and that's what they're going to play before their games. The commissioner went from insisting that everyone stand for the national anthem to now apologizing to the league's black players for not supporting them earlier. The NBA, even worse than the NBA. Black Lives Matter, the words Black Lives Matter, is going to be painted on every court in the National Basketball Association when they resume their season next month. And the players now are allowed to put social justice statements on the back of their jerseys in place of where their last names would have been. So I guess presumably they'll put I Can't Breathe or Black Lives Matter or Kill All White People. I mean, that's really what this movement is all about, is it not? The NBA is going to paint on its courts the name of a group that has been involved in acts of domestic terrorism. Full stop. You know, have you ever seen the people in the stands who actually go to NBA games? I would ask them to try and get by without the revenue brought in by white fans. All white people should boycott the NBA. They should boycott the NFL. They should boycott college sports. Cut them off, ladies and gentlemen. I've got one more thing that's going on with professional sports. We'll talk about it when we come back. We have got a lot to cover. We're going to talk about what's going on with the monuments this week. We're going to talk about Trump at Mount Rushmore. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about all kinds of things. I got a lot to talk to you about. And we're going to get to it right after this. Happy 4th, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com. Or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-4000. 2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a stirring hymn. That is beautiful music. I know as well as anybody what this country has come to represent. But I also recognize what a beautiful country it is, naturally speaking. And that song talks about it, the wondrous mountains and the oceans and this land that God gave us. It is a beautiful world out there, and we have to fight to maintain our place in it. It has become very ugly. Talking about the relatively trivial matter of sports, if it were not for the fact of how much sports dominates the lives of so many of our people. I read an article. We were talking about how the NBA and the NFL are going full on over the top anti-white, and some of the NBA games that they play, they're going to be playing them without fans. They're considering running them tape delayed. Now, why would they run an NBA game tape delayed? Well, the reason is because not having fans there, you're not going to have the fan noise to drown out the fact that these black NBA players call each other the dreaded N-word up and down the court on every play. Now, that's what's going on. That's why they're going to tape delay it. So you don't hear that. Now, they say it's to cut out the cursing, and they certainly do that too. I mean, we're not talking about very high IQ individuals here, not a very big vocabulary to draw from. But no, I've read several stories in which the NBA players say, yeah, we call each other that just about every play. And so that's why they're going to have to run them tape delayed. College sports, just as bad. I think a kid at either Kansas or Kansas State this week had said a joke that riled one of the delicate sensibilities of one of the black players. And he said if this student wasn't expelled from the college, that he wasn't going to be able to play for such a program. You know, and this and the tweet in which this black player expressed these sentiments was so poorly written. He couldn't have legitimately graduated kindergarten with such poor spelling and grammar. It was just atrocious. Any white man who watches or otherwise supports college or professional sports should be shamed and shunned. But they will continue to watch them while being resented by them. These people hate whites, but they make millions of dollars a year playing a game invented by whites and watched by whites who give them their money. As Lana Lochtef said this week, time to decolonize your lives, boys, and stop playing European sports. One more thing about sports. The Washington Redskins, their name is now under fire again. It comes up every so often, but now it's really under fire to the point where the owner, Dan Snyder, is assembling a committee to look at changing the name. And one of the names that they are considering is the Washington Red Tails. Yes, those Red Tails, those purported flying aces of World War II. If you listen to the new history on the Red Tails, those guys, they won World War II all by themselves. They completely handled the Luftwaffe. But in reality, they were such poor pilots that they were just given milk runs, basically. And they kept crashing into each other on the taxiway trying to get out to the runway. But maybe now that'll be the maybe it would be fitting for the Washington Redskins to be called the Washington Red Tails. But all of the sponsors, you see, of the Redskins have come out and said, hey, if you don't change the name, this racist name, then we're going to stop sponsoring the team. And it's the same thing that happened in the state of Mississippi, where the SEC said, look, we're going to punish you financially if you don't take down the state flag. So who runs the show here? Well, of course, we know who runs the show. But beyond the obvious, it's a synthesis of the corporations, the media, and the courts. You know, we had the Supreme Court just a few days ago struck down a pretty stout anti-abortion law, a pro-life law. It just goes to show the people have zero power. Of course, that's another thing. Abortion is good. You know, transgenderism and transhumanism is good. Everything bad is good and everything good is bad. But there was no vote on the Mississippi state flag. Now, they're letting the people of Mississippi vote on the new state flag, but they can't vote to have the one they wanted. They can't vote to have the old flag. They're going to vote between whatever a couple of candidates of the new monstrosity. They'll get to vote on that, I guess. But like my friend said, boy, if we didn't see all this coming, we didn't have the imagination. Well, I guess one bit of good news was that the nation of CHOP or CHAZ is now no more. It does go to demonstrate, however, how quickly this mob will fold with even a modicum of force being applied. I very much doubt in the liberal mecca of Seattle that they've got the rough and tumble Jim Lancia type bruiser cops walking the beat. But they were able to go in there and within a matter of hour on their bicycles, completely fold up shop and CHOP. And it literally fell within minutes of police finally taking relatively mild action. That, of course, after what? A couple of murders, God knows how many assaults, robberies, rapes, vandalism, destruction of property. After what was it, a month, they finally went in there and got it done. Well, of course, that's what should have happened instantly across the country. At each and every port of call, this mob rioted and tore down our monuments. Let's talk about monuments for a moment. Brad Griffin had a good comment on this, and we'll try to work it in very quickly. He wrote, while Tucker Carlson is begging the GOP to do something about the vandalism on his show, the woke mob came for Old Hickory's monument in Washington, D.C. A few days ago, the police were able to repulse them before they succeeded in tearing down the monument. The incident, which happened in front of the White House, has forced Trump to at least appear to be doing something about it. This image of a mob of angry blacks and woke whites climbing up on the back of Andrew Jackson Monument, putting it in chains and trying to tear it down in front of the White House is a vivid symbol of the last 80 years of American history. This gets back to my opinion on the flag and what it stands for. The defining idea of the post-World War II era has been anti-racism or anti-whiteism and anti-nationalism. The entire spirit of the age has been weakening, deconstructing, demoralizing, marginalizing, undermining, humiliating, degrading, and tearing down the white man while exalting all other groups. Crudely put, this is the captivating idea of so-called social justice. It has led to this, and we are approaching the climax. While Lincoln deserves it for unleashing this, we aren't fighting the last war in 2020. It is beyond clear that this has devolved into an attack on every symbol of white Christian America. The woke mob is now attacking every symbol of white America, from Christopher Columbus to Jesus Christ. An elk in Portland. Ladies and gentlemen, a statue of an elk. An elk in Portland was torn down because it was erected by people who must have certainly been racist, because they put it up in, I believe it was 1900, a statue of the Little Mermaid, the fictional mermaid in Copenhagen, has been scrawled with the graffiti saying racist mermaid. Obscure abolitionists have even been toppled, their monuments. No guiding principles here. These people are just destructive thugs, and they hate whites. They are ignorant of history. They have no central message. They just hate. A Black Lives Matter spokesman said flat out on television, what was it, a week or two ago, that the mission here is to kill whites? That's what he wanted to see, white people dead? And then they said, well, he wasn't really a spokesman of Black Lives Matter. He's like an offshoot. He doesn't represent the mainstream Black Lives Matter. Well, I've seen the mainstream Black Lives Matter, and let me tell you, they're not far from saying that very publicly. They come for the monuments. They will come for your flesh. Believe it. What's the Republican Party doing in response to all this? It's beyond parody, and I'll tell you when we come back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
At Mount Rushmore, President Donald Trump gave his 4th of July speech to an enthusiastic crowd. And during the speech, he warned that protesters who destroy monuments would be punished to the fullest extent of the law, and that he's planning some brand new monuments for the United States.
I am signing an executive order to establish the National Guard of American Heroes, a vast outdoor park that will feature the statues of the greatest Americans to ever live.
And in the president's motivational speech, he reminded Americans that we will make it through these tough times.
America's future is in our hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
Enjoy your 4th of July. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by June 30th. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A member of the president's inner circle has tested positive for COVID-19, and USA's Wendy King reports.
President Trump's son, Don Jr., is in self-isolation. He tested negative for the coronavirus, but his girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, tested positive. A Trump campaign official says she was immediately isolated in order to limit exposure to anyone else. They're also saying she's not showing any symptoms of the disease. They'd been in South Dakota to help with fundraisers for the president's re-election campaign. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
A 27-year-old man drove a car onto a closed freeway in Seattle and barreled through a panicked crowd of protesters, critically injuring two women. Dawit Kelty of Seattle drove his car around vehicles that were blocking Interstate 5 and intentionally sped into the crowd, according to the report released by the Washington State Patrol. The two women are in critical condition, according to Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. This is USA Radio News.
I don't know how it's going to end, ladies and gentlemen, or when things will turn, but I do know this. This is my Father's world, and nothing will happen that he doesn't appoint. But we have got to do our duty. We have got to do our duty. I was talking in the last segment. By the way, want to say hello to James, another James, out here in the local area tonight, grilling out, listening to TPC Live on his radio. As his family has their get-together. Yes, my family is having a get-together too, and I'm going to rush to rejoin them as soon as I leave here. I wanted to be with you tonight. I think under the circumstances, we needed to be together, especially on this holiday. That's how much you mean to me, ladies and gentlemen. But with all of the anarchy, with all that's going on, you would have thought that, you know, it would be a good idea for the Republicans to push back. And to an extent, Donald Trump has, at least rhetorically speaking, he certainly hasn't done very much to quell any of this. He hasn't done hardly anything at all. But I do like some of the things he said. But increasingly, as he says these things, while continuing to do nothing, of course, the Republicans are increasingly distancing themselves from him. What was one of the GOP ads this week, or a few days ago? This is what it read. Biden spent his Senate career implementing legislation that created the mass incarceration that plagues the black community today. Biden played a central role in the passing of the 1994 crime bill. In the 15 years after the bill passed, our incarceration population doubled. So there's the Republicans falling back to their traditional fort of Democrats are the real racists. And even worse than that, the Senate Republicans came out a few days ago and publicly stated that they want to change the Columbus Day holiday, make the Columbus Day a holiday no more, and make Juneteenth a paid federal holiday. So you ask yourself, well, why not just make Juneteenth, as ridiculous as that would be, a holiday in addition to Columbus Day? Well, they said, well, we don't want to give everybody another paid day off, you see. So even worse than promoting the ridiculous Juneteenth as a holiday idea, they do it only because they're too selfish and greedy to give people an extra day off. And they're going to take away Columbus Day, somebody who's actually worthy of remembrance. It's like we said about the Boy Scouts. With regard to the Republican Party, an organization so hell-bent on committing suicide should be allowed its wish. Conservatives have never conserved anything except the victories of the left. Imagine, if you can, losing every single battle. Losing every single battle for 70 consecutive years. How is that possible? It seems as though they could have won one, at least one, by accident. It's almost like they're bought and paid for. And some of them are. Some of them are true believers in liberalism, and some of them are just cowards and shills. I mean, it's a little bit of all of it. But none of them, not one, actually stand up for their base. In the state of Mississippi, where the flag fell recently, 90% of all white people in the state of Mississippi who vote Republican. It's the largest disparity anywhere in the country, 90% of the whites who vote in Mississippi vote Republican. And what do they get? Just more betrayal. We see this 24-year-old kid up from North Carolina, the one in the wheelchair who just won the Republican primary there, on track to probably become the youngest senator in American history, or rather the youngest member of the House, congressman. I've seen him on TV. It's the same old stuff. It is, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do for Israel. He's not the answer. The GOP isn't the answer. I saw a billboard for a candidate the other day, and it was advertising the fact that he is a conservative Republican. Now, the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that billboard was that this guy has to be weak and effeminate. The first thing, when you play word association, if you say conservative Republican, I think weak and effeminate. You are going to be an enemy to my family, an enemy to our people. And the same thing, by the way, for anyone who proclaims themselves to be a conservative Christian, a Christian conservative. You say, I'm a Christian conservative. First thing I think is, you are my enemy. I say this as a Christian conservative myself. But when, unless you're talking about a guy like me, a guy like Sam Bushman, if somebody from a church says, I'm a conservative Republican, I'm a Christian, I'm running for office, I immediately think you're the enemy. You're going to stand in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. You're going to be for rampant, uncontrolled immigration. You would literally go to hell for Israel if that's what they asked you to do. You're not standing up for my family or your own, for that matter. And how did it come to that? How do we go from the Crusaders to Russell Moore, from Charlemagne to J.D. Greer, from Jan Sobieski to Steve Gaines, the despicable former president of the Republican, or rather the Southern Baptist Convention? You know, these people cursed their ancestors. Their grandchildren will curse them. Only when that happens, it will be very much deserved. Western civilization and Christianity itself would have been wiped off the face of the earth if guys like J.D. Greer and Steve Gaines and Russell Moore, if these guys had been in charge back then, they would have just surrendered to the Muslim horde. They would have rather been killed than stand up and fight. Think about it. We need hard men. We need masculine, unapologetic leadership. Let's go quickly to a call. Kevin, I believe, Kevin in South Dakota, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, James, happy 4th of July. I really enjoy listening to you and Keith every week, and I just want to say you have a great show. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, I agree with everything you say about Trump. I mean, I think overall he's been a big disappointment. He says some of the right things at certain times, you know, like he did yesterday at Mount Rushmore. And but he just, I mean, again, like you said, he's all talk, no action. And I just wanted to ask you, I go online on these news sites on Breitbart and mainstream, you know, conservative sites, and it just amazes me how many, you know, so-called conservatives, they still got their heads in the sand with Trump. I mean, they seem to think that, I mean, they still give him way too much credit, and they think that, you know, that he's some kind of savior. I mean, really, I just see him as another Reagan. I mean, he's just a, you know, kind of a, more like a phony. You know, he's not going to, he doesn't do what needs to be done. Again, he's just all talk most of the time. And I just want to ask you, what are your predictions for the upcoming election? I mean, do you have any right now, or is it too early?
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin, and thanks for the call and thanks for your questions. I would say I agree with you. Trump's talk at Mount Rushmore was fine. We're actually going to play a clip or two from that in the next segment. I think it was fine. It was good overall. Some things I disagreed with, of course. But, you know, tomorrow night, though, the fact of the matter is, as somebody put it that I was reading the other day, Americans in dozens of cities, including maybe mine or yours, will likely be held hostage by BLM and Antifa terrorists. And that's going to have more action and more impact than Trump's words. Trump has to counter that impact with action. I said in March of 2016, way before anybody thought it was possible, at a speech that I gave at American Renaissance, that I referred to Trump as the next president and Don Jr. as a member of the next first family. I knew he was going to win. The moment he came down the escalator, I knew he was going to win. This year, God, this year, Kevin, that is an impossible. I'd like to go out on a limb and make a bold prediction here, because I am a man of action. I'm a man who speaks boldly. It's just impossible to predict, because it's just such an unparalleled time with the rioting and Joe Biden literally in his basement since March. It's just such an unusual election year. I think very easily Trump could lose the election within the first 30 to 45 minutes of the votes being counted, because if he loses Florida, which is on the East Coast, if he loses there, it's it, and it's going to be a very early night. On the other hand, because there has been so much insurrection, and because this year's just been so unpredictable, it's impossible to know where we will go between now and November even. There's just so much volatility, it could literally go either way. If I had to bet, though, I bet Trump loses, and I bet he loses because he's taken very little action against the horde, and just because of the simple fact it's just a numbers game. You go back 4 years, and he's done nothing to really quell the alien invasion from the third world. States like Florida, Georgia, maybe even Texas in play now. He loses any of those three, especially Florida or Texas, it's game time. And he could very well do that. But on the other hand, the Democrats would have just sailed through had it not been for all of this unrest and them having such a historically weak candidate themselves in Biden. So I could see Trump potentially winning. If I have to tell you one way or the other, it doesn't look good right now. We'll see if he gets a set of stones between now and November. That could change things. A lot of things could still happen that would change things. Right now, you ask me, I think he loses. We'll be right back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
doesn't like a little drum and fife? I'll tell you what I do. All this old-timey patriotic stuff, I gotta admit to you folks, it does tug on the heartstrings just a little bit. Even to this jaded 16-year radio veteran, yours truly, I still like that stuff. That's back when our people still had a compass. Where we go from here, though? Well, let me first tell you who's a real Yankee Doodle Dandy, born on the 4th of July, Sam Bushman. I want to very quickly pay my respects to one of the greatest men I've ever known. Today is Sam Bushman's birthday. Can you believe it? I mean, what are the odds? Being born on the 4th of July, and we dedicate that song to Sam. Where do we go from here as Americans? I don't know. What's the key to our survival? What's the key to survival for our people? Is it Russia? Is Russia the key to our survival? I think in Russia, they just elected Putin for life. I think he just got voted in until 2036. But I'll tell you what, he's a strong man. I don't agree with everything Vladimir Putin does, but I'll tell you over there, while we're tearing down churches and spraying tacky, ugly graffiti all over everything decent and pure, they just in Russia consecrated a beautiful Orthodox cathedral. Let me tell you something, folks. It looks like something you would have found built during the Renaissance. Beautiful art and architecture. That is what our faith, our culture, and our people are. They are beautiful, and they are righteous. Everything about us is beautiful. Everything about our enemies is ugly, all the way down to their art and their architecture and their lack thereof, the grotesque graffiti in the vulgar language, spray-painted, so tacky, all over these masterpiece works of art. And we're being taught, of course, that you're not good unless you hate your own. Well, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do what is best and most benefits my family and my children. What responsible father wouldn't denounce my ancestors? Not for all the money in the world. I exist as part of a continuum. I fight for my past, I fight for my present, and I fight for my future. I fight for my future descendants. I want to honor my ancestors. Rather than being worried if I am ashamed of my ancestors, I'm worried if my ancestors are going to be ashamed of me. Like I said, these people like Russell Moore, all of these traitors, these sellouts, their descendants will curse them, and rightfully so. Donald Trump gave a speech at Mount Rushmore. We're going to play a quick clip from it.
There is a new far-left fascism that demands absolute allegiance. If you do not speak its language, perform its rituals, recite its mantras, and follow its commandments, then you will be censored, banished, blacklisted, persecuted, and punished. It's not going to happen to us. Make no mistake, this left-wing cultural revolution is designed to overthrow the American Revolution. In so doing, they would destroy the very civilization that rescued billions from poverty, disease, violence, and hunger, and that lifted humanity to new heights of achievement, discovery, and progress. To make this possible, they are determined to tear down every statue, symbol, and memory of our national heritage. True. That's very true, actually. That is why I am deploying federal law enforcement to protect our monuments, arrest the rioters, and prosecute offenders to the fullest extent of the law. I am pleased to report that yesterday, federal agents arrested the suspected ringleader of the attack on the statue of the great Andrew Jackson in Washington, D.C. And in addition, hundreds more have been arrested. under the executive order I signed last...
Overall, it was a good speech. I would encourage you to watch it all. But unfortunately, it is a lot of talk. And in fact, Trump was either wrong or purposefully being misleading there. A lot of his people are being canceled. In fact, some of the people who were largely responsible for putting him into office originally have been blown off social media entirely. It's just talk. He has got to act. I mean, it's not like he's a candidate anymore. He's the president of the United States, a sitting president. And for what he's saying about the law enforcement going after these people, how many statues are gone forever? Not to be coming back anytime soon. Maybe not gone forever. I think power is the ultimate elixir, by the way. This is not a numbers game. It's not about we're going to reach more people than they are and we're going to win the war for America's mind. No, it doesn't matter. All that matters is having power. I was talking with Paul Angel about that from the Barnes Review just a couple of days ago. We regain power. Everybody else falls in line, and that's all that matters. People are weak. People are pliable. And people will do whatever they're told to do. We just got to be the ones telling them what to do. But unfortunately, as good as Trump's speech was in parts, it's not. We're not going to be able to talk our way out of this. He has not acted. He has to do more. And he only has a couple of months to do it, or he's going to be gone. And as much of a disappointment as Donald Trump has been, and he has been a supreme disappointment, I appreciate some of the stuff he says. Policy-wise, he's been an extreme disappointment. You don't want Biden in there. Believe me. We can be very, very angry and upset with Trump and say, rightly so, he doesn't deserve to be reelected. He does not deserve to be reelected, but you do not want a Democrat president and a Democrat Senate and a Democrat House. What have the Republicans done for us? Nothing. I was just saying that. In fact, they're our enemy too. But it could always get worse. Let's use that imagination. Mount Rushmore, we're going to quickly get to Micah. Micah, 1 second. I just want to say something about Mount Rushmore. The usual nonsense was brought up about Mount Rushmore, dogging Trump for going there because we stole the land from the Lakota tribe. Well, of course, what they forget to mention, as it was brought out by a commentator on Twitter this week, the Lakota stole it from the Cheyenne, who had stolen it from the Kiowa tribe. Yet our theft, quote-unquote, from thieves is supposed to be some great injustice. Please, read history, ladies and gentlemen. I am proud of our pioneer and settler history, our conquering history. The Indians savagely attacked the settlers. So people are ignorant of history. That's why they're able to destroy us. They savagely attacked us. We fought for every inch of this land, and I'm glad we won. We did what they did. We just did it better. This whole narrative of the good Indian and the bad white man is so apocryphal. All of these Indian tribes, what would happen when they conquered someone? They would rape them, they would enslave them, they would genocide them. What the white Christians did was entirely different. We should have no guilt at all. Why should we? Only white Christians honored a vanquished foe. Had the Indians been able to conquer us, they would have enslaved us, raped us, and genocided us. Full stop. Let's go to Micah in Maryland. Micah, happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July, James.
Great to hear from you.
I know I can't wait to see the bond, your June fundraiser gift. I'm eager to.
You're going
to
be getting it soon. As a matter of fact, yes, indeed. Those are being packaged this weekend, and we'll go out on Monday.
Okay. Maybe I'll get it by the end of next week, I guess. I don't know how long. I know shipping's been kind of slow with this stuff. Bat suit fever stuff. I can testify to that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Micah, we do things first class here. It's going to be priority mail all the way, so we'll get it to you as quick as possible. But with about a minute remaining this hour, and it's so rare I spend an hour one-on-one with my audience. Normally, I mean, I'm so thankful for Keith. Keith's going to be on a little later tonight. We had to kind of switch things up tonight for the 4th and holiday and scheduling and everything. But great to be with everybody one-on-one. What can we do for you in the final seconds we have this hour? Great to hear from you again. I want to repeat.
Oh, nothing. I know General Patton, we can agree, he was probably the last real one. He would not sit idly by while the protesters had those van tires removed. He would have gotten a tickety split, I can assure you that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know Maryland's technically a border state, but I'm going to go ahead and incorporate Maryland into the South. If your accent is any indication of what we can expect up there, that's some strong stuff.
Yeah. A lot of people say I'm from Boston for some reason. I don't know why.
Sounds like you're from Alabama.
Oh, really?
I tell you what, Micah, I appreciate your support over the years. I don't know if this is the first time we've had a chance to speak, but I have sure enjoyed receiving your cards and your notes and letters of...
I think I called a couple years ago, but anyway, I'll let you guys go. Nice talking with you.
Well, it's good to talk to you, and thank you for the call, and happy 4th. It's great to have people tuned in live tonight. I guess people probably anticipated we would have taped early or just played a tape or just... I don't know what they would have expected tonight, but no, we are here live on the 4th of July. We just proved it with Micah and earlier Kevin from South Dakota taking a few calls tonight. We don't normally do that, but it's always great to hear from our folks. I'm going to pay a little tribute to the audience when we come back. Second hour coming up, 4th of July. We're live, and we'll be right back.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come. Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.